Welcome to Cornerstone. We're glad you've joined us. Today, we'll be hearing from a special guest speaker. Listen in and be encouraged as we spend some time in God's Word together.
My privilege to introduce our guest speaker for the morning. Eric Fridge will be preaching and delivering God's Word today. And Eric's actually not a guest here, right? He's been here for almost a year. During this whole pandemic, we've been blessed to continue to grow and have new families join us. And it's been a real blessing. And one of the biggest blessings has been the Fridge family, Eric and Jenny and their daughters. And it's just been a blessing having them here at Cornerstone. And if you don't know Eric, hopefully you will. He's a great guy, great family. Eric, he got his degree in marriage and family ministries and has been very active in adoption and foster care. He and Jenny have a real heart for that. If you're interested in those kinds of things, they're a great resource for that. Eric has served on pastoral staff in churches for a number of years. He's done a number of different opportunities in ministry. And most recently now, he's serving on staff at a Christian university. And Eric is a gifted guy. He's a multi-talented guy. You'll see him sometimes playing bass up here on Sunday mornings. You'll see him shooting video for us. And also this fall, I've tapped him to sort of head up our adult Bible fellowship ministry. And so if you come on Sunday mornings at 10:30 in a few weeks here, you'll get to hear Eric teach as well as a team of teachers that he'll be leading. And so it's just been a blessing getting to know Eric. I'm a little worried because Eric preaches considerably shorter than I do, right? And so I'm afraid you might get used to that. But let's welcome Eric as he comes on up here and just teach us with the word.
Thanks, sir. I always say, can't say it in 20 minutes, then anyway. Hey, it is so good to be here with you. It's a blessing to be here. And I'm so grateful for this church and the blessing that you've been to my family. We've been here, as Brent said, just a little over a year. And just thankful for the way that you've welcomed us here and given us opportunity to serve in ministry and friendships that we've developed during our time here, and just been a blessing. So a couple things you need to know about me. Number one, I am not a real preacher. And so I am not Pastor Brent or Pastor Leo or Pastor Samuel. And so just go ahead and set your expectations a little lower and we'll all get through this just fine. And another thing you need to know about me is I love talking about what God is doing in my life. And over the last couple of years, God has really been growing and challenging my family a lot. I want to introduce them to you. You'll see a picture of them up here on the screen. A couple of my girls are with me today. There they are. So there's my crew. Starting over here on the your left side is my son Ben, and there he is with his fiance Katie. Ben and Katie are at Abilene Christian University graduating and getting married January 1st. So we're excited about having another daughter into our family. Right next to them is MJ. Maylin is a sophomore in high school, and she plays volleyball, and occasionally you'll see her back on the soundboard. She's super talented in a lot of ways. And then over on the opposite side of that in the white sweater is child number three, Maddie Grace. Maddie is going to be a senior in high school this year. We might flunk her just to keep her around a little bit longer, but Maddie's graduating about a year from now. And then next to her is her oldest sister, Megan, and her husband, Sam, behind her. They got married just about a year ago. Sam's in med school down in the Texas Medical Center. He works at MD Anderson, and so we're excited to have them close to us. And then right there in the middle is my wife, Jenny. If you haven't met Jenny, you need to meet her. She is a great, great blessing to me and to our family. And on her hip is one of our foster kiddos. Occasionally you'll see us with some kiddos in tow. We are a foster family. We're a therapeutic home where we often take kiddos for a time before they get placed into their forever family. And so I'm so thankful for this church and the way that you've loved on some of the kiddos that we've had this year. I know several of you have been praying for those kids in their continued journey as they get placed into their forever home. So thank you for that. Now, what I want to do together this morning is I really just want to share a couple of sections of scripture with you that are meaningful to me. I hope that they give you encouragement. I hope they will give you maybe a little bit of insight into this thing we call the Christian life. And I'm going to share a couple of stories, and then the message will be yours, okay? Well, I don't know about you, but there are times in my walk with Christ that, quite honestly, I get stuck. Have you ever been there before in your faith? Not necessarily, you know, moving away from your faith or falling away from your faith, but you just kind of get stuck, not moving forward, not growing, not really maybe living the call that God has called you to. Now, it's easy and it's understandable that in the world that we live in today, sometimes it's easy to maybe get pessimistic or maybe overwhelmed with what's going on in our world and in our culture. But do you know the difference between a pessimist and an optimist? A pessimist is someone that will find a problem in every situation, but an optimist is someone who sees opportunity in every challenge. Now, I believe that in the New Testament, we have a great example of what I would call an eternal optimist, and that is the Apostle Paul. Because as you read through the New Testament, you read through Paul's writing, you see that there's very little that ever detours his mission in life. And his mission was to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with as many people as possible. And as you read through the New Testament, as you read through the chronicles of Paul's missionary journeys, and as he writes letters to individuals and to different churches, we get a little glimpse of who Paul is. Now, I don't know if it was, you know, just a natural part of his personality that made him such an optimist, or if it was something that happened, you know, when he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus that, you know, changed him forever. But Paul, it seems like wherever he traveled, wherever he went with his different companions, you know, whether it was Lystra or Iconium or Derbe or Philippi, it didn't matter whatever happened to them, whether they were thrown in prison, whether they were beaten, whether they were run out of town, whether they were shipwrecked, they looked for opportunities to share what Jesus was doing in their life. Now, if you would, go ahead and open up your Bibles with me to the book of Philippians is where we're going to spend a little time together this morning, this letter that Paul writes to the church at Philippi. And what I hope that we will gain is just a little bit of insight, not just on Paul's life, but really on Paul's approach to ministry. And so as we look at Philippians, starting in chapter 1, you can see Paul's greeting as he begins in verse 1. He says, let me get to my right place. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is Paul's traditional greeting that he often did in many of his letters. And it makes me ask a question. What do we know about the Apostle Paul? You know, as you read through the New Testament, we have a lot of Paul's writing. 13 of the 27 books that we have in the New Testament are written by the Apostle Paul. He doesn't necessarily talk a lot about himself in those, but we can gain a little bit of insight to who he was as a person through his writing. One of the things that we know about the Apostle Paul is that he was a tent maker by trade. That was his profession. He was a tradesman, but he was also an educated man. He was very smart, very well written, but also very well spoken because he held his own with religious leaders as well as government officials. Paul didn't back down from anybody. He was always willing to stand up for Jesus. And Paul was a pretty rough and rugged guy as well. Because, you know, at that time, he traveled literally hundreds and thousands of miles from town to town, often by foot or by ship. And oftentimes, they had a lot of hardships along the way. Would get shipwrecked or thrown in prison or run out of town. So Paul was a tough guy. But at the same time, Paul had a very nurturing side to him. And you see this in his writing. You see this in the relationship that he has in some of these letters. Look here in verse 3. Paul writes, he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray because of your partnership from that first day until now, being confident that he that began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. So a couple things that I see we can see from the text here as Paul opens up this letter in Philippians. Number one, Paul is very relational. I mean, he's not shy or afraid to express his feelings towards his brothers and sisters in Christ. We also see that Paul is very intentional about his ministry. And the third thing is that he always looked for opportunities to share the gospel with others. Now, it's easy to see how Paul expressed his gratitude to those that he was in ministry with. He wasn't shy about that. He wasn't shy about sharing the credit of what God had been doing. You notice here, as he thanks the church at Philippi for their partnership in the gospel from that first day until now. But Paul also had great passion for his relationships. Look at what it says here in verse 7. He says, "It's all right for me to feel this way about you because I have you in my heart. Whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. And God can testify how I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus." So not only did Paul, was he very connected to those folks that he did ministry, not only was he very intentional about his ministry, but he also looked for opportunities for ministry. Now, he does this in a couple of different ways. Paul never was dissuaded from his mission. He understood his assignment. And you know, his assignment that he had is the same assignment that we have. In fact, do you know what your assignment is? Your assignment is to share Jesus with those around you. And you know what? I know somebody has done that for you. How do I know that? Because you're here. You're sitting in church. You see, someone along the way shared Jesus with you. Who was that for you? Was that a parent or a family member? Was that a preacher? Maybe a Sunday school teacher? Was that a neighbor, a friend, a coworker? Somebody took time to invest in you. Somebody took time to rub off on you. And now you have that same assignment. And that is to do in the lives of others what someone has done for you. And if you're not going to hear anything else that I have to say this morning, I want you to pay attention to that. You'll see it up here on the screen. You see, the main message that I want to make sure you walk away with this morning is each of us has an assignment to do in the lives of others what someone has done for you. It's a pretty simple assignment. You've been given a gift of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now Christ is asking you to do that for someone else. And that's exactly what Paul did. But notice what he does here in this book of Philippians. If you go back to verse 3, he says, "I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you because of your partnership in the gospel from that first day until now, being confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion." Now, there's a lot that you have to unpack in this verse to really understand the context of what Paul is talking about. What is that phrase that he says here, where he says, from that first day until now? Now, as you're thinking about this letter to the church at Philippi, you have to understand that his relationship happened at a much earlier time. He's writing to this letter to them a little later on in his ministry. But to understand it, let's go back to where this church began. So hold your place in Philippians and turn back to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 is where Paul and his companions were on their second missionary journey. And at this point in time, he has split up his team from Barnabas and John Mark, kind of went their way, continuing on their missionary journey. Paul and his companions continue on, and they sail from Troas, and they end up in the city of Philippi, which is where Acts 16 picks up, starting in verse 13. Look at what it says here. Acts 16, 13. It says, "On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there." Now, earlier we talked about Paul's intentionality in his ministry, and it's important to understand Paul's mode of operation. What Paul would typically do when he would travel from one town to the next town is the first thing when he would get to a new city, he would first go to the synagogue. Why would he go to the synagogue? Paul was a Jew. He understood the people that were there. That's where his training was. He understood their traditions. He understood their thinking. And so he would first go to the synagogue and begin to share the message of Christ and take the opportunity to tell who Jesus was and what he had done in their life. But he doesn't do that here in Philippi. Why is that? Well, Philippi is a Roman colony. In other words, the demographic of the city of Philippi would have been Greeks and Gentiles, not a lot of Jews. And so there was no synagogue. So instead of going to a synagogue, which there wasn't one, they took a different approach. Instead, they went outside the city gate. They went to the river where they expected to find people who were seeking God and who were praying. Now, there's an important principle here that Paul shows us that I think we should all pay attention to as believers. When Paul faced a challenge, he just didn't give up. No, instead, he changed his expectation, and instead he went to the river where he expected to find people who were praying. So in other words, Paul put himself in a place of opportunity where he could share Jesus with them. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times in my life that sometimes I feel a little bit complacent in my faith. Again, it's not that I'm stepping away from my faith. It's just that I'm not necessarily moving forward in my faith. Maybe it's because I'm not sure of my assignment, not sure that I can do what I've been called to do, to share in the lives of others what someone has done for me. And some days there are days when I don't feel like I share my faith very well. I wonder, I'm not sure if I really believe. Can I really make a difference in the people, in the lives of folks here in my community? Have you ever been there before? Have you ever been stuck in your faith, wondering how to move forward? Back in the 90s, late 90s, there was the dot-com boom. And at that time, late 90s, there were a number of startup companies that began to do online travel. One of those startup companies was a company called Expedia. Maybe you've used Expedia to book a flight or a hotel or a rental car. And over the years, Expedia began to really, really grow. In fact, so much so that they experienced some incredible growing pains in their first 10 years. It was about 2012 that they had done some corporate evaluation on how they were doing, and they discovered that for every 100 customers that booked a trip online with Expedia, about 58 of those customers then would call back to customer service to get help. Now, that might not seem like a big deal, but in 2012, Expedia received 20 million phone calls for customer service. 20 million phone calls. Understand, when you play that out from a staffing perspective, that's about $5 per call. At 20 million calls, that equals about $100 million that they were spending just on customer service. And it was one of their executives that took a look at this problem that they were having and the expenses that they were having, and they started asking questions. Why are we having so many people call customer service? What they discovered was a simple problem. You see, people were booking their flights and their hotels online, but it didn't automatically give those customers an itinerary of what they had just booked. And so they would call customer service and ask for an itinerary, a pretty simple fix. And so what they decided to do was make a downloadable tool that once you booked your flight with Expedia, you just download your itinerary. Problem solved. Now today, Expedia only receives about 15 calls per 100 customers. And so you can see the great change. And it wasn't that Expedia was trying to be difficult. No, they had just gotten into a habit, a very unhealthy business habit. One of the things that I've realized over the years that most Christians, most believers want to live out their assignment. They want to share their faith with others, but sometimes we get stuck. Sometimes we get stuck in moving forward in our faith. Sometimes we don't live out our assignment to share in the lives of others just as someone has shared with us. I remember a number of years ago, I was a student pastor for a number of years, and student ministry is really interesting because kids like to express their appreciation and love for their pastor in unique ways. My students, for a time, they love to wrap our house with toilet paper. Have you seen this before? Where kids come in the middle of the night and they'll, put toilet paper all over your trees and all over your house and things like that. Well, our group had gotten into this habit to where they didn't really need an excuse to come wrap our house. They just did it on a very, very regular basis. I mean, it was Friday night football game and our house would get wrapped. It was my birthday and my house would get wrapped. It was Groundhog Day, my house would get wrapped. So much so that after a while, our neighbors were like, hey, y'all sure you want to still live here? And one neighbor even put a for sale sign in our yard to encourage us. Hey, maybe y'all need to move along. And so we weren't real popular in our neighborhood. But I remember one time, it was summertime, and we had a lot of activities going on with our student ministry, and we were headed to New Braunfels. I think we were going to go float or Schlitterbahn or something, and so we had a big overnight trip planned, and Jenny and the kids were already, they had gone somewhere, and they were out of the house, and so I was there home alone that night, and I knew there was a group of boys they were spending the night at somebody's house to meet up at the church building the next morning, and so I thought, I know they're going to come tonight. I know they're coming. So I got ready. You know, I got the garden hose out, and I was hiding in the bushes for a little while. I'd see a car pass by. I was waiting for them to come out, and I was going to jump out and, you know, surprise them. And I waited, and I waited, and finally it got to be midnight and a little bit later, and I thought, I can't do this. I can't stay up all night. We've got a big trip and going to be gone for a couple days. They're not coming. So I went to bed. Middle of the night, it was probably 2 or 3 in the morning, and I hear a boom, 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 big pound on my front door, and I thought, oh, I know what just happened. They showed up. I opened my door, and again, it was middle of summertime, and it was like a winter wonderland. There was white toilet paper everywhere, on the trees, and the bushes, on the house. I mean, it was everywhere, and I thought, oh, I can't leave the house like this. I mean, we're going to be gone for a couple days. Jenny's gone. The neighbors, you know, they'll pack us up and move us out before we even get back. And so I began to get a couple of trash bags, and I began to fill up all this toilet paper, and I got it all off the lawn, and I got it all off the bushes, and I got it off the house, and I got all these bags, and I put them in the garage, and I look at the trees, and the trees were still just, they were covered in toilet paper, and I thought, there's no way I can't get it all done. I've got to leave here pretty soon. Got to go get the church fans ready, and we got to leave on this trip. And then I remembered one of our youth group dads said, "Well, hey, the way I get toilet paper out of my trees is I just I light one end of the toilet paper, and it burns up to the top to where it goes over the tree, and when it gets to that point, it burns it, and the rest of it just drops out. I thought, well, I'm going to try that. This will help clean up the yard. And so I lit one end over here, and it burned up the tree, sure enough, all the way up to the branch, and it burned out, and the rest of that toilet paper just dropped right out. I thought, this is fantastic. This is going to save me, right? I'm going to clean up the house before, and so I light one here, and then I light one over here, and I was doing that for a little while, but it was taking a really long time, doing just, you know, one or two at a time, and I thought, there's no way, I'm running out of time. I've got to leave here just in a little while, and so I lit one over here, and I lit one over here, and I lit one over here, and I started getting several of them going. But that night, there was a little bit of a breeze blowing in those trees, and when those little toilet paper fireballs were going up, they began to sway and catch more toilet paper on fire and more toilet paper on fire. And in just a matter of a couple of moments, I mean, I had these two fireballs of these big giant trees in my front yard, and I thought, boy, if somebody drives by, they're going to call 911, and, you know, the fire trucks are going to show up. I'm going to wake up the whole neighborhood. I'm going to end up on the, you know, front page of the newspaper, you know, youth pastor burns down subdivision. Thankfully, that didn't happen. All the little toilet paper, it burned all the way up and dropped all the way out. I was saved. I tell you that because, you know, when you place yourself in good opportunities, God does amazing things. And that's exactly what happens here in Acts chapter 16. Notice what it happens in verse 14 as Paul went outside the city gates expecting to find people of prayer. It says, one of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us into their home. This is the start of the church in Philippi. Why? Was it because of Paul going about his ministry in the way that he normally would? No. In fact, he had a problem when he showed up to Philippi and things weren't as they normally would. In fact, you might even wonder, well, what if Paul would have just said, hey, things aren't like they normally are, and there's no synagogue here, I don't relate to these people, I'm just going to move on down to the next city. It's not what Paul did. Instead, he took the opportunity to look outside the city wall, go to the river, where he expected to find people of prayer. And that's when he began to share who Jesus was, and that's where the church at Philippi began. You see, I don't know about you, but growing up in youth group, we used to sing a song, It Only Takes a Spark. Some of you all remember that song, but it's that idea of when we take that opportunity to share our faith, it's amazing what God does with it. It catches on from one person to another person to another person. And God does great, great things. I don't know where you're at in your faith this morning. Maybe this morning you're feeling stuck, wondering what's going to happen over the next few months. Are we going to go back into, you know, pandemic lockdown? What's going to happen to us as a church? Are we going to continue to be able to do things the way that we've always been able to do them? Let me encourage you. If you're feeling stuck, maybe, think about taking a next step towards God. Maybe taking a next step towards an opportunity that He places before you. Maybe you're new to Cornerstone, like we were about a year ago. I would encourage you, if you're new to Cornerstone and looking for a place to find a loving church family, the thing I would encourage you to do is get involved. Come to everything for 30 days, 60 days. Come to everything that you can, every Bible study, every group, every activity. Come to as much as you can. Get to know the people here. Maybe right now in your faith, you're just coming to discover who Jesus is in your life, and you're wanting to learn a little bit more about that. I would encourage you to take advantage of our men's and women's Bible studies, or maybe our adult Bible fellowships. Maybe you're looking for a place to serve where you actually want to live out your faith. You want to be able to share with folks. We've got great opportunities that you can do that in our children's ministry or in our student ministry. Always looking for folks like you that can share the love of Jesus with our kids. If your kids aren't involved in children's ministry or in youth ministry, what a great opportunity that you have to have your kids discipled by Kristen and by Leo. They do such a great, great job of ministering to our students here. Maybe you're thinking about, you really want to make a difference in our community. Think about the Obadiah Project. You know, each month, our church feeds almost 200 families here in our community by just providing just some of the basic necessities of life. You have an opportunity to interact with those folks, pray for those folks, and really make a difference. Maybe you want to get involved in our Spanish ministry, or maybe get involved in one of our ministries or mission opportunities. One of the things that we love about this church is that have seen so many folks that have taken that next step of opportunity, of ministry, and faith. In our first service, Dennis Turnipseed was sitting right here. Dennis has been around for a little while. If you know Dennis, he was in the corporate world for a number of years, but really felt that God had called him to share the gospel in a very specific way, taking the gospel to the streets. He quit his corporate job and began a nonprofit ministry and now does that full time. I think about Robert and Barbara Sims and the love and the passion that they have for orphan care around the world. And a few years ago, they went on a mission trip to Africa and they ended up starting a nonprofit that now takes care of a group of orphans and provides education and lots of things for them. We've got a number of folks here that are involved in different ministries and missions, all because they saw an opportunity that God had placed before them, and they took that next step. I would encourage you this morning, no matter where you're at in your walk, take that next step. Take that next step of opportunity that God places before you, and watch and be amazed at what He does with that. Let me pray a prayer of blessing over our church as we finish out our time together. Our Father God, we are so grateful for the way that you love us and take care of us, even when we don't deserve it. Father, I pray for each person that's here right now, just as we all are on this journey walking with you. Father, I pray that you would give us eyes to see the opportunities that you placed before us. Father, I pray that you'd give us a heart that's open to sharing the gospel with those people around us. Father, I pray that you'd give us hands and feet that are willing to go when you call us. Father, I pray that you would help us to take that next step, to share in the lives of others what someone has shared with us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for spending some time with us today. For further information about today's podcast or our church in general, please visit us at cornerstonecbc.org. That's cornerstonecbc.org. Thanks. See you next time.